I made a promise, and I must keep that promise if I don't say another word this morning. Brother Dennis told me about the last thing that he said before we parted yesterday morning. Please tell the congregation how much I appreciate and thank them for the blessings of the past week. Now I've kept my promise. Dennis had quite a time getting home because of the weather. And I trust and pray that he made it all right. And I know he didn't before midnight last night. So he had a long day. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning concerning one word that we find in the book of Jeremiah. But before I tell you what that word is, let me give a little explanations concerning Jeremiah. I trust that everybody is probably more familiar with Jeremiah perhaps than I am. But there's something that we need to reflect upon for just a moment before we consider that one word that he penned. Jeremiah was also recognized and thought of as the weeping prophet. If you've studied the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentation, which he penned the both of, we find and we can almost feel and see the tears rolling down his cheeks as he wrote the words of those two books. But what was he so concerned about anyway that would call upon tears flowing down his cheeks? Well, we find it in just about every verse of both of the books. But in this chapter particularly, in which we find the word of our concern for this hour, the 14th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah begins the chapter by addressing God's people. He talks about Judah, the Judahites. And he continues with his lesson toward them down through verse 9. Beginning with verse 10 through the remainder of the chapter, he includes the Israelites in what he had to say. So just putting that together, Jeremiah was greatly concerned over God's people. That just puts it all together. But how concerned was he over God's people? Well, certainly we realize the fact that because of his limiting over them, he was greatly concerned. Now, if you have your book open at Jeremiah chapter 14, consider verse 9. In verse 9, we find these words. Why shouldest thou be as a man, a stoned, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against thee, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Backslidings. How often do we hear that term used today in the preaching and the teaching of God's Word? I can well remember when I was just a boy, a few years ago, that this was a very common word used by preachers and teachers of God's Word. They too were greatly concerned about God's people. So then of necessity we must take a look at this question. How concerned are we about God's people? And where do we direct our attention and our thoughts concerning our concern about God's people? Surely if we know anything about or if our association has taught us anything at all about God's people, this is one word that is long overdue to be brought to our attention. For as we talk with brethren in other places, As we associate with our brethren at home, we cannot help but be concerned about the lack of spirituality among God's people today. That's not just here. In fact, we are in a fairly good shape here. But every place, all across throughout the world, we hear brethren talking less and less about things that are spiritual. What does this tell us? What is this an indication of anyway? Well, Jeremiah would say, backsliding. What does the word backslide mean anyway? Well, the word actually means to err or to turn away. It is found 16 times in the Old Testament. Not one time in the New Testament. So someone might ask, is God no longer concerned about folks backsliding? Is the reason it's not found in the New Testament? No, He is more concerned. Because we find that several words in the New Testament that means the same thing. As a matter of fact, if we look at the word sin itself, can we examine that word and not realize that it is the result of backsliding? When people turn away from our Lord, when they err concerning His commands and His directions, have they not backslidden? Yes, indeed. So if we are not exercising our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and in the commands of our Heavenly Father through Him, in order to glorify Him, to prove ourselves and to be ready to meet Him when He is through with us in our journey in the flesh, then there is something wrong with our spirituality. So let us examine this word to a much closer degree in our study this morning. Now I would invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, the last chapter, the 13th chapter, we find these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Here the Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Examine yourselves. Well, now as we are confronted with this word reprobate, is it possible that I or that you may be guilty of being a reprobate, as Paul told the Corinthians, and not even realize it or know it? Is that a possibility? Yes, it is. But it's a shameful one, to say the least. For if we are striving to grow and develop spiritually with our target in our home of the soul in the sweet by and by, then we're going to realize just where we stand in the sight of God. Are we doing His will? We read in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans where the apostle had a great deal to say about our condition spiritually. And the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, of course, follows the 7th chapter, in which he leads the Roman to understand that we cannot get there by trying to walk according to that old law, because it's been done away with. It served its purpose. Paul said, it taught me sin. That old law taught Paul what sin is all about. But he says there is a better way. There is another way. There is the way, if you will, that God has given unto us, that we must follow by in order to make heaven our home after a while. What is that way, Paul? Well, begin to read in that 8th chapter and find out. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's the first verse. Now he begins to build upon that first verse what it is to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For he tells us if we walk after the Spirit, we're dead spiritually. Or walk after the flesh, rather, we're dead spiritually. But if we are walking after the Spirit, we are alive. And he goes ahead to talk about that. And how do we know? How do we know whether we're walking after the Spirit or after the flesh? Well, he gives us to understand along about verse 16 what it's all about. If our spirit is in agreement with the Spirit of God, then we are the children of God. And if we're the children of God, in verse 17, we're joint heirs with Christ, God's children, with that heavenly promise facing us constantly. So now the question is my spirit in agreement with God's spirit? How do I know? Well, I know whether I am walking according to His instructions or not, if I study His Word as I ought. For we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Am I doing that? How many of us never give a thought from one Lord's day to the next about what God has to say? If indeed that should be our case, how can we avoid the realization that that's not going forward? That the Apostle Paul tells us that we must forget those things that are behind and press on toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We must move forward. We can't stand still, and we can't go backward and make heaven our home in the after while. Sin is a spiritual disease. And every disease has a symptom of some kind. What are some of the symptoms that would help us to recognize whether we're guilty of sin or not? Whether we're just playing at being the children of God? Or whether we are earnestly concerned about being children of God and striving to the utmost of our ability to prove it unto Him, examining ourselves to determine whether or not we may be guilty of going against rather than going with the will of God. Well, one thing that we may look at or recognize as a symptom of backsliding. How joyful are we as the children of God? Does being a child of God fill us with joy? Does the association with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus cause us to be joyful? Just how much joy do we have as being the children of God? That's one test. We can examine ourselves. I hear so many brethren, and I have through my life, complaining, griping, carrying on all the time about spiritual matters or the lack of them, mostly spiritual ones. Why? Are they full of joy? No. But we are commanded to be joyful all the time as the children of God. Turn over there, if you will, to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. command of God, that we are to be joyful. And the apostle continues in the writing of the book of Philippians and tells us that we must be full of joy all the time. But if we're not, if we can't do anything but fuss and fight and fume concerning things of spiritual matter, there's something wrong with our spirituality. Something wrong with our faith, which is another indication of backsliding. Why? Because it is faith that is our power to press forward. And if our faith is lacking, our trust and our confidence in God who commands and directs us, we're not going to be moving forward very well, are we? And so the more faith that we have, the easier it is to press on toward that goal that God has set before us. But if our faith is waning, if it is lacking, it's going to have the tendency of drawing our feet backward instead of pressing them forward as we press on toward that goal. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Paul told the Romans in Romans 10 and verse 17. So if your faith is lacking, that tells us loud and clear that your study of that which produces that faith is also lacking. You're not using the Word of God to strengthen you spiritually. Now what could that result in? But backsliding. You remember the account of the Israelites when God delivered them out of the Egyptian bondage? Out there in the wilderness they began to complain, gripe and grumble as it were. Well, to go back into Egypt where we can get the fish and the garlic and so on. They were backsliding. They wanted to get a hold of those things back there in Egypt. Well, we're not reaching to Egypt today spiritually. But what did Jesus, or what did God declare unto us through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in 1 John chapter 2, and about verses 17 and 18. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What is that, John? Love not. Well, now, why in the world would he say, love not the world? There's a danger there. He put up the red sign. If we love the world, what are we going to do about it? We're going to become partakers of it. And when we become partakers of it, what has happened to our spirit? Go back there again to Romans 8. And we find the spirit that's walking in the flesh, in the walking to their pleasing of the appetite of our sinful flesh, that we are going to be spiritually dead. Well, those backsliding take us, but to the spiritual graveyard. So there's another symptom then of a lack of joy, the lack of faith. Divided interest. People are just not interested in things spiritual. I think in our meeting last week, we had the smallest attendance that we've had in any meeting since I've been here for the past 30 years. Why? Well, surely we've had some members sick and couldn't be here, some out of town that couldn't be here. We understand that. But there's some that's still in town that didn't come here either. Lack of interest. How do you expect to get to heaven if you're walking backwards? Can't be done. Can't be done. We've got to get rid of the appetites of the flesh. and put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 33. That must come before and ahead of everything else in the course of our lives. So we're not putting God first and His righteousness. Spiritual matters, we've put it second. And that puts it in the back. Backsliding. Well, of course, that leads to indulgence in sin, which we've actually already covered. Well, what causes this anyway? What causes it? There has to be a cause. If there are symptoms for our physical maladies, what causes the symptoms? Because we're living in a period of times when the doctors treat the symptoms and overlook the cause in too many cases. We've got to get to the cause of these symptoms. We can't get rid of them, we can't get to the cause. So what's the cause? What's the cause? The cause is a failure to realize that we must show ourselves approved unto God. When we attend the services, we're not there just to show ourselves off to one another. We're there to show ourselves approved unto God. We seemingly do not realize that we are in a great warfare. God's people are fighting against the devil's people, against sin. And are we actually fighting against it when we're partaking of it? Putting things ahead and above our responsibility spiritually? No. But why? Do we fail honestly to realize how serious and important it is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? The Apostle Peter, by inspiration, tells us that Jesus is our example, that we should follow in His steps. Are we doing it? If we're not, we're backsliding. So we need then to wake up, as I often say, wake up so we can die right. That simply means we need to wake up and realize what it is to be a child of God and what we must do in order to make heaven our home in the after a while. And put everything behind our responsibility to move forward. You know, if we could get people to understand that, we wouldn't have any trouble in getting brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ to attend all of the services that are provided. They would be filled with joy to attend the services, to be in the Bible studies, to have their minds open to more truth, that they indeed may prove themselves before God, that they're trying to the best of their abilities to make their home with Him when He's through with them here. So, what causes that? Why is it that the things in the world should be so enticing to us? Well, one cause of that is the wrong medication. Sometimes we allow our associates to separate us from our God. We find the apostle to the Corinthians writing concerning this very point when he tells us that evil companions will corrupt good morals. What does that mean? That means that the world has a way of rubbing off on folks, on God's people. I've heard preachers in years gone by use this example. You cannot put a white suit of clothes on and walk into a coal man and come out with a white suit on. Why? Because that coal mine is full of coal dust, and it's going to settle on that white suit, and it's not going to be white when you come back out. That is a splendid example of what happens when we supposedly put on the suit of righteousness and walk into the sin-cursed world and partake of ungodliness. We cannot come out of that condition as clean and as wholesome as we should have as a child of God when we walked into it. And so evil has a way of rubbing off on God's people. And we need to realize that fact and fight that evil. Strive to walk as Jesus directs, that we not allow the evilness of the world to rub off on us and to keep us from the glory of God. James has a great deal to say about this, and we're not going to take the time to read all that he says about it, but I encourage you to read the 4th chapter of the book of James and consider what he says in the last 2 or 3 verses on that chapter. Now, whatever we do, let's be sure that we do it to the will of God. Walk by faith and not by sight. That's the cure for many of these symptoms of spiritual weakness and of backsliding. The danger, of course, is a greater danger than any physical disease that you can think of today. And we recognize there are a lot of serious dangers for cancer, heart attacks, blood clots, just name it. There's a lot of dangers in it that affects the physical body and can take the life out of the physical body. Now you think about all of the world has out there, that when we take it upon our spiritual being, what's going to happen to it? What's going to happen to it? Spiritual death. So is it possible that we may be drinking of the fountain of the world and not realize what we're doing to our spirit? Is that a possibility? It is if you do not study the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that explains what happens and what those conditions are. And if we do not study it, we do not know it, and consequently then it's having no effect upon us. And we're dead spiritually. Are we concerned as we ought to be with God's people? It has to begin with number one. Are you concerned about you as you ought to be? Because you are an example to somebody else. And if you are not doing what you must do in order to be the proper example to somebody else, what kind of example are you being to somebody else? And where is it directed? Why, it would cause us to shudder, and if we had hair, stand on its end. To think of the fact that I may be leading somebody to hell. But if we're not leading them to the Lord, we're leading them to hell. And we need then to strive. If you had a physical malady, maybe it's a pain in the leg somewhere, and you are sent by the doctor to some physical gym somewhere to strengthen those muscles wherever they sore might be, and why you go? Why will you go? To strengthen the muscles, to get rid of the pain. That's right, and sometimes it's wise. Sometimes it doesn't do any good, but sometimes it helps. Well, now stop and put the eyes upon the Spirit. Our spirit also gets lame sometimes. And what do we do to strengthen it? Cater to the lameness? Gripe? Complain? Stomach ache and whatever else? Because you're putting that pain ahead of everything else. You know, it doesn't take much pain to keep some folks from attending the services of the Lord. But we have some folks that attend services here when they ought to be home in bed. But thanks be unto God for their faith. And for the example that they set before us who realize their condition. They're setting the right example. They're putting the first things first. And wouldn't it be great if all of God's people would do that? There's no doubt in the world but what there are some that will stay away from services for a little of no reason. Because of the lack of these symptoms and many more that we've touched on in our study this morning. But as we bring our lesson to its conclusion, and we could go on and on for a while, as long as Dennis can, and deal with this very serious situation. We want the church to be strong. The church can only be strong as the members who make it up. And if we're members of the church, then we ought to do everything we can to make ourselves strong in order to help the church to be strong. And that means then we're going to have to maybe change directions in order to accomplish that task. But think again what we read just a few moments ago. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? Now there's the challenge, isn't it? And I'm going to leave that challenge with you. If you are a brother or sister in Christ, and you've just been playing at being a child of God, don't you think you ought to make a change in the direction? Turn back to the Lord? Repent of that which has separated you from Him. Pray Him to forgive you and get on with proving yourself before Him. If it's of a public nature and you need to make a public repentance, we're here to assist you in doing just that. If you are a child of God, did you find yourself in this study this morning? And where did you find yourself? We talked about God's people. And we talked about those who are not God's people. Those who make up the world. But did you know or do you understand that God says that those who make up the world are already lost? Yes, that's exactly what our Lord said. They are already lost. But thanks be unto our Father and to His Son, provisions were made in order to save you. And that was when the Father sent the Son to this world. And here to suffer and to die upon that old cross to shed His blood for the remission of your sins. That you can make yourself right with God. Turning your back upon the ways of the world that will cause you to be eternally lost. You believe in Jesus? Do you believe what He says? If you do, are you willing to turn away from that course of life and put your life in His hands to repentance? Are you ready to confess that indeed He's your Lord? He's your Master, He's your Savior. For John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, about verse 3, He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And then, are you willing to go with Him to his death where that blood was shed that it may cleanse you from your sins. As Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, to be buried with Christ by baptism into his death, and raised therefrom to walk in newness of life. You put the old person of sin away. Now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Live to prove yourself. And we're here and we're willing to help you in any way that we can to do what the Lord would have you do. And we're going to sing that song that Brother Frank has selected as a song of encouragement. As together we stand and sing.